Okay, I wanted to speak about a couple of inyanim related to baking matzahs. Baking matzahs. So this is something, I don't know, anybody ever been to a matzah bakery before? Right? You bake your own matzahs or you just went to watch the people baking the matzahs? Just watched, right? Okay, so it's a pretty exciting and intense place. You know, if you go Hanukkah time when they're first starting, so that's probably pretty chilled out. But as the time gets closer and closer and they're trying to reach their quotas for the year, so it gets pretty intense over there. And you'll notice there are a number of halachas that are associated with baking matzahs. The most important one, perhaps, that's relevant to us in terms of matzah bakeries and, you know, mass-produced matzahs is the issue of lishma, or the issue of what we would call nowadays shmira. Is it considered matzah shmura or not? So there's a lot to say about this topic. I'm just going to touch on it a little bit. So if you take a look in source number one, the Gemara Masechet Daf Mem and Aleph says, the Amrav, let's pick it up in the middle of a sugya. Amrav Huna Bitsekos Shel Nachrim Adam Memale Kreso Mehem Ubilvad Sheyochal Kezayis Matzah Be'achrona. If you have these doughs that were made and kneaded by a non-Jew, so you're allowed to eat them. You're allowed to fill up your belly with them as long as you eat matzah at the end. Be'achrona in Rishona Lo. Says it sounds like Dafka. You can eat it at the end, but not at the beginning. So my timer. What's the reason for that? Mishum de lo avad behu shimur, because they don't do shimur, they don't guard it. Vele yavid le shimur me'afia ve'elach. Why don't they just guard it after they bake it? El alav shmamina shimur me'ikara bo'ina. We need it to be guarded originally. We need it to be guarded from the beginning. So if you look in Rashi there in source number two, what is he talking about? Debaha lo nafig dechovas matzah. If you use the non-Jewish baked matzahs, you cannot be yotze the mitzvah v'achilas matzah. Because they're not guarding it for the sake of matzah. We see that there's no chametz here. Right? What does he mean we see that there's no chametz? So that's important. Okay? What would you say? What would you say it means that we say we see that there's no chametz? What do you mean? How would you see that there's no chametz?
There's no flour.
There's no flour? What do you mean?
In the baking.
After the baking, all right. Listen, Pashtus says there's never any flour after the baking. You're saying chashash of gebrochts aside, you know, there's, let me just look at the matzah. You never see any flour on a matzah, right? But what does it mean that we see that it's not chametz? We see that there was no chametz. How would you see?
Didn't rise.
Didn't rise. Simple enough, right? There are simanim. You could look at the bread and see, did it rise? Did it not rise? Right? That's the pashtus of what he's talking about, no? He's talking about whether or not when you look at you can see certain cracks that develop in the dough because of the chimutz process, and therefore you can tell by looking at it whether or not it's chametz, right? Generally speaking, if you look at a bagel, you can tell that it rose. How do you know? Because it's nice and fluffy instead of flat and, you know, smushed together. So you know that it rose. It's pretty obvious. Right? So there are simanim that you can use to look. But you could argue maybe he's talking about something else. He's talking about you actually watched it being baked. You saw the guy do it. Right? So maybe that is what it's talking about. You see that there's no chimut. So Pashas is not what Rashi is talking about. But let's keep that idea in the back of our minds for a second. Let's say you watch the guy bake the matzahs. Does that help matters? Does that make life better? So, okay, we'll have to see. So Rashi says, even though you see that it's not chametz, umiu lematzah shel mitzvah shimur lishma bo'inon. For the matzah of a mitzvah, you need shimur lishma. You need to guard it lishma. What's lishma? L'shem mitzvah. Right? You have to guard it in order that this is the type of mitzvah, matzah that you're going to be yotze your mitzvah. Right? That's why if you go to a matzah bakery, what do you see? They have like, some places they have signs, some places they have people screaming it out, right? What do they say? L'shem matzah mitzvah, right? So this is interesting. Sometimes you'll see people say L'shem matzah mitzvah, and sometimes you'll see people say L'shem mitzvah matzah, right? Right? What's the difference between the two? For example, you ever tie tzitzis? Anybody ever tie tzitzis? Right, so if you tie tzitzis, so you say what? L'shem mitzvahs tzitzis. So if you bake matzah, what do you say? L'shem mitzvahs matzah. But they don't. They say l'shem matzahs mitzvah. So it could be that some people do and some people don't. I don't know. I haven't been to that many matzah bakeries. But generally speaking, I think people say l'shem matzahs mitzvah and not l'shem mitzvahs matzah. So perhaps that's totally... So this is not my idea. Rav Moshe Sternbach in the Moedim Muzmanim has the idea that maybe it's a difference between those who hold that there's an inyan to eat matzah all 7 days. There's a mitzvah, kiyumis, to eat matzah all 7 days. Versus those who say there's only a mitzvah to eat matzah on the first night. How so? First of all, you ever heard this before? There's an inyan, it's attributed to the Vilna Gaon, but you can find it in many Rishonim. There's an inyan quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon that you're supposed to eat, you can be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah all 7 days. Aye, there's only a mitzvah to eat matzah on the first night. There's only a chiv to eat matzah on the first night. However, there's something called a mitzvah kiyumis. Certain mitzvahs are maybe a mitzvah kiyumis. That's a good question, whether or not such a concept even exists. But you see that many do assume that it exists. And there's a mitzvah kiyumis that you're not chayiv to do the mitzvah, but if you do it, it's a mitzvah. Right? So that some say that eating matzah the entire week of Pesach is a mitzvah kiyumis. Right? There's another shita in the Rambam, that someone medayik in the Rambam's Lashon that he talks about matzah on the first night of Pesach. So he says, once you eat a kezayis of matzah, you're yotze. But he doesn't say you should eat a kezayis. He says, once you eat a kezayis of matzah, you're yotze. So some want to be medayik in the Lashon of the Rambam as well, that dafka on the night of the 15th, on the Seder night, as much matzah as you eat, that's how much of a mitzvah you're mekayim, but just that night, not the rest of Pesach. So you can be mekayim many mitzvahs of achilas matzah on the first night, right? If you hold like the Mishnah Berurah, how many kezesim of matzah are you eating on the first night of Pesach? Correct, 5, right? So you're eating 5 kezesim of matzah on the first night. You're eating 2 for motzi matzah, 1 for korech, and 2 for afikoman. Now, obviously, min haTorah, you're only mechuyev to eat 1 kezayis of matzah the entire night, and midrabbanon, you're only mechuyev to eat 3 kezesim of matzah the entire night, right? 1 for motzi matzah, 1 for korech, and 1 for afikoman. But to be mahader, and to follow, if you follow all the different eitzes of the Mishnah Berurah, so you end up with 5 kezesim, right? 2 for motzi matzah. I've been told, I still have yet to see it inside, that Rav David Feinstein in his Haggadah points out that nowadays the kezayis that we call a kezayis is probably 2 kezesim anyway. So you really could just eat what we call 3 kezesim, but you probably ate more than 5 kezesim. So maybe you don't have to dafka eat 2 of what we call a kezayis. You could eat 2 makel kezesim, and that's already enough to be yotze in the Mishnah Berurah. I don't know. You could look into it. Depends, I guess, how big of an eater you are. I'm a big eater, so I don't feel badly eating large kezesim of matzah, because, you know, if somebody would bring me, something from Carl's and Gabby's, I probably wouldn't eat a makel kezayis of it. I'd probably eat a very machmer kezayis of it. So also by matzah, you know, it should be low gora from what you like to eat, you know, recreationally. So also for the shame mitzvah, you could also be a big eater. So I guess it depends on what kind of person you are normally. Okay, so getting back, so Rav Sternbach wants to suggest that perhaps the fact that we say L'shem matzas mitzvah, that's coming la'afuke, the shita of the Gra. That's coming to say there's only one matzah which is a matzas mitzvah. Right? Every other night is not matzas mitzvah. There's matzah and there's matzas mitzvah. Right? However, if you hold like the Gra that it's a mitzvah to eat matzah kol shiva, so you're saying l'shem mitzvas matzah, because all matzah is matzas mitzvah. All matzah is matzah mitzvah. You're not coming la'afuke the other matzah that I'm going to eat the rest of the week, which is not matzah mitzvah. It's all matzah mitzvah, right? So therefore, that's why you'll find, and the Tziv points this out in his Agada, I believe, that you'll find many people who are makbid to eat shmura matzah the entire Pesach, not because they think the other matzah is chametz, it's not chametz, but because they want to eat matzah that was baked l'shem mitzvah, so they could be yotze the mitzvah kol shiva. Right, so that's some people will even bake with shmura matzah meal, and they'll eat shmura matzah farfel or whatever, and they want to get as much shmura matzah as they can, because that way they're yotze the mitzvah according to those who hold there's a mitzvah zachilas matzah kol shiva. Okay, take a look in source number 3 for a second. So the mechaber brings in a very interesting idea. We'll go to Sif Beis first. Harosh hoya mishtadel b'matzas mitzvah v'omeid ala siyasa u'mizareis ha'oskim bohem u'misayeya barichosin. So the Rosh, who, as I'm sure you know, was pretty into learning, so we don't really view the Rosh as the guy heading over to the matzah bakery, you know, to bake his matzahs, but the Mechaber says not that way. And this is based on, this is quoted straight out of the tour, who would have a very good vantage point as to what the Rosh did, considering it's his father. So he, so the tour quotes that his father, the Rosh, used to go down to the matzah bakery, and he would supervise the making of the matzah, and he would psych the bakers up, he would be mezariz them, and he would help make the matzahs. V'chein roi l'chol adam lasos li tofel hu ba'atzma b'matzah. So he says, you should also, you know, you should be metapel, you should work hard to get the matzahs done. Right? Famous quote here in number 5 from the Mishnah Brura that the Arizal said that if you work really hard in the matzah factory and you sweat and you toil, it's a tikkun la'avon hachamur. It's a tikkun for a terrible avera. So he says that it's a big kapara, it's a big tikkun to try to work hard on the matzah. So it's easy to sweat in a matzah bakery because it's usually very hot anyway. So I think if they make it so hot, they don't want the air conditioning on because they want you to be mekayim darizal of sweating over the matzahs. So don't sweat in the matzahs, that's a little gross. But sweating over the matzahs, so also there's a shiloh whether or not you're supposed to add salt to the matzahs. So b'diavad, if you accidentally added salt to the matzahs, we'll still allow you to eat them, but definitely not l'chalchila. So what? It's a chashash, maybe, because in halacha, for example, we have a concept, meliach harehu kiroseach, that if you look in Siman Tzadik Aleph in Yoredeya, we talk about meliach kiroseach l'gabe, if you have a piece of meat, and it's salted, and then it touches a piece of cheese, so even though cold on cold, normally you just need hadacha, you can just rinse it off. But if it's a salted piece of meat, so then we say it's like it's hot. And therefore it's going to be bolea, kide klipa. And so the concept that in general salt is viewed as a figurative heating element. So like we don't heat up the matzahs. We dafka use what we call mayim shalonu, we use overnight water, so we make sure that it's nice and cool. It's been sitting around. We don't heat up the matzahs in any way. We don't heat up the water. So also salt is a shtickle heating agent in halacha. So that we don't want the matzah to be salty per se, because it's considered warmed up. So also here we want you to sweat over the matzahs, but we don't want you to, you know, obviously keep them clean. But it's a big tikkun, apparently, according to Arizal, that it's worthwhile to get involved on your own. So you see, like, people are very busy. The Rosh, I'm assuming, was very busy with very important things, but he still thought it was a big inyan to go out there and to join the matzah baking crowd and to be mishtadel himself in baking matzahs as well. And if you look in the Magen Avraham, Sif Katan Aleph, on it's source number 4, Damrina Reish Perek Beis the Kiddushin, Mitzvah Bo Yoser Mi Bishlucho. Right, we have the famous concept. Right, the Mishnah says in the opening in the second parak of Kiddushin, Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo Ubishlucho. Right, so the Gemara says, what do you mean Bo Ubishlucho? Says no, we want to teach you Mitzvah Bo Yosem Ubishlucho. Right, it's Machlokis there. One man Dharma says Mitzvah Bo Yosem Ubishlucho. What does the other one say? It says because there's a mitzvah, you have to see your wife one time before you Mekadesh her. So we don't like when a guy's Mekadesh his wife Ayde Shaliach because he's never seen her before. So it's much better for you to see her at least once, right? Because maybe you won't get along, maybe you won't like her. So then you have to obviously love your wife a great deal. So we don't want to ever have it. Even in an arranged marriage, which there was talking about arranged marriages, we want to make sure that you've at least met. You know, we don't want to ever have a case where they've never met. So that's where that's the second limit from there. But the first limit is mitzvah bo yosem yishlucho. There's an inyan to do the mitzvah yourself. So mitzvah bo yosem yishlucho means that somebody, you can do the mitzvah yourself, even if somebody else could do it for you, is a bigger inyan for you. So the Rosh most likely had very important things to do, very important Torah to learn, piskei halacha to write, etc. Yet he still held it's mitzvah bo yosem yishlucho. So he says no one else could do this mitzvah as well as I can, because it's my mitzvah also. And therefore, he got up from whatever he was doing, and he went to help out in the matzah bakery. And you'll see very chashuv talmidei chachamim who make very good use of their time under normal circumstances and under all circumstances. They make very good use of their time, And they still, you know, they take the time to go bake matzahs. Silly question is, the problem is that the concept of mitzvah bo, yozim b'shlucho, only works if it's what? I'm saying, what's it? There's only... Right. That's the first word of the sentence, right? It has to actually be a mitzvah. It can't be like, ah, it's cute, you know, go bake matzahs, you know, you come home. My kids come home from the, I think, the Tzivos Hashem matzah bakery, and with a picture of them in an apron baking the matzahs. I'm like, that's lovely, but like, it's not a, what mitzvah is that? Now, you look in the Taryag mitzvahs and the Rambam and the Bahag and everybody, is, what's, where's the mitzvah to bake matzahs? What? Ah, so it's a hechsher mitzvah. So a lot of hechsher mitzvahs. So we're going to say hechsher mitzvah, mitzvah bo yozim b'shlucho. Let's say a guy's sitting and learning, and he has a friend who, you know, is not. So he wants to buy Dalad Minim. So he says, you got to buy Dalad Minim. How's he going to get Dalad Minim for Sukkos? So is it dafka that he should pick himself up and go buy the Dalad Minim, or is it that he can send his friend to go buy the Dalad Minim for him? Right? Or let's say the building a sukkah. If it's a build a sukkah, there's no mitzvah in the Torah to build a sukkah. So should he, dafka, try to build his own sukkah, or could hire the, I don't know, are the Litton Brothers still in business? Litton Brothers used to advertise in the five towns. They'll come and build your sukkah for you. So should you call the Litton Brothers, or should you build it yourself? Right? So what's the answer? So we'd say, well, if it's a mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho. If it's not a mitzvah, why should you do it yourself? So baking matzah is not a mitzvah. So the Netziv has a famous chiddush in his commentary on the Shiltos, in Shilta Kuf Samach Tes. The Netziv has a chiddush. It's based on a diuk in a Rashi and Makkos. So he has other rayas too, but there's an interesting diuk in the Lashon of Rashi and Makkos, where he says there's different types of hechsher mitzvah. There's a hechsher mitzvah haksuva bakra. If there's a hechsher mitzvah which is actually mefurish in the Torah, right? It's mefurish in the Torah that there is an inyan to do this. So there's an inyan in the Torah to build a sukkah. It's mentioned in the Torah, you got to build a sukkah. Right? It's mentioned in the Torah, you got to bake the matzahs. So if that's true, it's a hechsher mitzvah, ksuva Torah, then we do apply certain klalim of mitzvos, even though it's not one of the Taryag mitzvos. So we would apply the klal of mitzvah bo, yosem ibishlucho, to baking matzahs, to building sukkahs, and other hechsher mitzvahs, which are written into the Torah. However, there are some hechsher mitzvahs, most I guess, are not explicit in the Torah. It's just implied under normal circumstances that you have to accomplish the hechsher mitzvah in order to be able to do the mitzvah. So under those circumstances, we would say there's no concept of mitzvah bo, yosem ibishlucho. There's no reason for you, dafka, to get up and do it, right? You can have someone else do it for you rather than do it yourself. But you see here that it seems clear that the Rush holds of this yisod, that where there's a hechsher mitzvah, that's ksuva b'Torah, so we say mitzvah bo, yosem b'shlucho as well. Right? And this is how it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, and the same is true for building the sukkah and various other hechsher mitzvahs. You know, I don't think it's true for Dalad Minim. For buying Dalad Minim, you know, people like to do it themselves, and hey, it's Bein Hazmanim anyway, so like people enjoy it. So there are worse things in the world that you can enjoy, you know. So people like to buy their own Dalad Minim, but technically if somebody else would buy and you trusted that he was going to pick out a good Dalad Minim for you, so then that would be terrific. That would be an acceptable way to get the Dalad Minim. Okay. So that's the first point, that you shouldn't think people are going to the matzah bakery, are wasting their time, they're doing something which is important. It's been a minig for many years of great Gedolei Yisrael to go down to the matzah bakery, mitzvah bo yosem v'shlucho, and furthermore, that's al pi nigla and al pi nistar, right? There's also an inyan to work very hard while you're there, right? There's an inyan to, you know, really get it going, roll out, you know, work hard so you get a little bit of perspiration into it, and it's a great tikkun for, various averus, I guess. So, That's Sif Beis in Siman Tav Samach. Go back to Sif Aleph for a second. Sif Aleph writes, Ein Lashin Matzas Mitzvah V'lo Ofen Oso Al Yidei Eino Yehudi. You can't use a non-Jew to make the matzah for a mitzvah. V'lo Al Yidei Cheresh Shotev Akotin. And you also can't use a Cheresh Shotev Akotin to bake matzah's mitzvah either. So, what is the reason for this? So what do you think? Based on what we've been saying so far, what's the reason for this? Why can't you have a non-Jew do it, yeah? Oh, so it might make it chametz, right? So then what's the solution to that? Right, have a mashgiach, right? Just like when you have a non-Jew in the yogurt factory making yogurt, he might make it not kosher, so you have a mashgiach, So you assume it's kosher. You don't say that only a Jew, right? You want to have Chol of Yisrael. How do you have Chol of Yisrael? You have a Jew supervising the milking of the animals to make sure that they're only milking cows over there, right? So I'm saying you want to have kosher, you know, kosher food. You just have a mashgiach supervising. So, what? It's a mitzvah. So you want the non-Jew to steal our mitzvah? You can do most mitzvahs. Non-Jews can do most mitzvahs. The Rambam writes that a non-Jew does mitzvahs. He gets schar in a mitzvah v'yosa. So he says, a non-Jew, certain mitzvahs, we don't let him keep Shabbos. We don't let him do certain things. But if a non-Jew wants to do mitzvahs, we don't mind if he does mitzvahs. We don't want him to steal our mitzvahs, right? That's a good taina. Want to make sure that we have enough jobs for the Jewish people, so let them bake matzahs in the matzah bakery. But l'maisa, what's the real reason? Guys learning getting, right? Saying, do we let a non-Jew write a get? No, because we're choshesh that he's not going to write it lishma. What's the lashon? We say, Ovid kochavim, adaita denavshe hud kochavim. Right? He does things adaita denavshe. He does things without lishma intentions. He might have his own reasons for doing it that have nothing to do with your reasons. Right? And therefore, we're choshesh not to let a non-Jew, bake the matzahs, because he might not do it lishma. Right, and that's what the Mechaber is basically saying. You can't use a chereshot of a cotton because they're not b'nei das. They don't have das, and therefore they can't have das l'shma. And you can't let a non-Jew do it because he might not have das l'shma either. He might have das l'shma, but we have no way of knowing. Can't tell what's going on in inside somebody else's brain. And therefore, we can't be sure that he's doing it l'shem mitzvahs matzah or l'shem matzahs mitzvah. If you take a look, the Mishnah Brura basically spells this out in source number 6. Atam dechsev u'shmartem es ha-matzos u'mashma mizeh d'shmira sh'atam ishamra shelo tachmitz hiskavin l'shem mitzvah shel matzah shel mitzvah. Right? While you're guarding it that it shouldn't become chametz, you also have to have in mind to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah with this matzah. V'nachri v'cher shol devakotin la b'nei shimur ninu. They can't properly guard it. V'skimo harbe poskim da'afil Yisrael omed al gabov u'mazhiran Sheichavnu l'shem matzahs mitzvah, l'shem mitzvahs matzah, sorry. Even if a non-Jewish mashgiach is standing there, actually, if a Jewish mashgiach is standing over the non-Jew and saying, have in mind l'shem matzahs mitzvah, right? And you could get the non-Jew to say it. You know, still, gamkein lo mahani, ve'eno yotzi dechovaso, afilu b'di'evid. V'yesh menat poskim shem mekilin ba'omer al gabu v'masirin sheichavnu ba'asiyas l'shem matzah. And there's some poskim, we'll see the Rishonim in a second, but some poskim will say just the opposite. If the Jew is standing there and he's watching the baking of the matzahs and he tells the non-Jew, have in mind l'shem matzahs mitzvah, that works. Right? Then we would assume he's doing it for the right reasons. So he says, better that the Jew help a little bit. Better to do it through a chereshot of a cotton than an akum. What's the svar for that? Why would it be better to do a chereshot of a cotton versus an akum? Right? Well, they don't have a mitzvah because they're not chayiv in the mitzvah. But it's a question of, you know, there's two ways, you know. You can just stand there and do nothing, or you can do something wrong, right? So what's worse, standing there and doing nothing, or doing something wrong? So doing something wrong generally has worse repercussions than just standing there and doing nothing. There are sometimes that standing there and doing nothing is the thing that's being done wrong, but most of the time, doing something wrong is worse, right? So the chereshot of a cotton, they don't have das, right? So if you hold that the Jew can stand over them and his das works, so then we would allow the chereshot of a cotton to do it, right? If you say, because the chereshot of a cotton, it's not that they're going to use the wrong kind of das. They're not doing it adaita denafshayu. They're doing it stam. They don't have das. So if your das is enough, so they don't have das, and that's good enough. But if you say that the nachri, the cheshash, is he's going to do it adaita denafshe, so if he's going to do it adaita denafshe, that makes it worse. Because you're telling him, have in mind the Shem Mitzvah, and he's saying, stam, you know, I'm having in mind because I like really crunchy things. You know, like, so he's having the wrong kind of das. He's bedavka dismissing what you're saying. So that could make it worse.
But the parashot uncut, then they might do it wrong.
So you're supervising the baking process. You know it's not going to be chametz. You're there. I'm saying you're in the room. Just for whatever reason, you can't do it. So you're supervising their baking to know that it's not chametz. But on the other hand, you can't implement the das to the extent that they're now going to have das. You can tell them say l'shem matzah mitzvah, but they don't have das. Halachically speaking, they don't have das. So like if your das is enough that it's shimur l'shem mitzvah, so then fine. That's better than having a Nachri do it. Why? Because if the Nachri has his own things in mind, not yours, so that's worse. He's quote-unquote doing it wrong, as opposed to not doing it. The Cheresh Yodiv HaKatan, the worst they could ever do is no Das. Right? But the Nachri might have the wrong Das. Because he's a smart guy. He has full Das, but he doesn't necessarily have what you want it to have. So that makes it worse. So that's the Cheshman. Okay, keep that in mind for a second. And then he says, alright, you can read the rest on your own. But you should also, be careful not to be mesiach das. You should have in mind specifically to, what you're doing at all times. Don't have idle conversations about, whatever. I don't know, anything really. But don't have idle conversations at the time. Dafka, try to keep your mind on baking the matzah lishma. So from the Rishonim that the Mishneh Berurah, if you look in the Shaar HaTzion there in Sivkatan Dalet, he quotes the Shittas and the Rishonim that go in both directions. If you take a look in the Ritva, in source number 7, so this is he quotes a number of the Shittas. If you look 1, 2, 3, 4 lines in, Rabbeinu Chanan El Zal Piresh Betshuva Betzekos Shel Goyim Shalosh Osan VaOrchan Goy Bifnei Yisrael. So going back to the Gemara that we originally quoted, that said you're allowed to eat bitsekos shel goyim, just not for the mitzvah. So Rabbi Nachmanel says, what is that situation? That's talking about when it was supervised by a Jew. The Jew watched the baking of the matzah, and v'ra'ah shehayu kol ma'isa behechsher, ela shelohaya shomer osam b'shas lisha l'shem mitzvah. He saw that everything was kosher. He saw that there was no chametz involved, but he did not see, he did not guard it that it would be needed l'shem matzah. It was not necessarily done l'shem matzah. The kos of harit zal, v'nira midivir rabbeinu zal, shim amad yisrael alav, v'shomer osa l'shem matzah b'hachisagi. So it sounds from there that what are we worried about? That the Jew didn't supervise it l'shma. But let's say he did supervise it lishma, that's good enough. So you can have a non-Jew baking the matzahs, as long as there's a mashgiach who's standing over him and saying, this is l'shem matzah's mitzvah, that's good enough. Your yotze, the chiyuv to bake it lishma, and you can eat that matzah on the Leil HaSeder. Va'ani danti lefnei mori hara'ah zal, and I brought this to the ra'ah, divane afil Yisrael omer al gabo lo sagi b'hachi, the kolecha deboy lishma goya daita de nafshe ovid v'lo sagi b'Yisrael omed al gabo kidam rinan gabi get. So we say by a get that the goy can't write the get lishma because we're choshish that he did it at daita de nafshe. V'yaf al gav de gabi milo. So hold off for a second. So he says this is the machlokes the Mishneh Berurah was alluding to. Do you think that the goy needs to be needing it lishma? Or we choshish, and therefore it's not enough that you're standing over him telling him to do it lishma, or not? Is it just that somebody should be watching it and guarding it lishma? Because again, what's the chiyuv that the Gemara speaks about? Shmira. The matzah has to be guarded lishma. We translate that into the matzah should be baked lishma. But in reality, it's not. The issue is shmira. The issue is that the matzah should be guarded lishma. We call it matzah shmura. It was matzah that was guarded. Why was it guarded? L'shem mitzvah. Right? So if that's true, that it's just the shmira that needs to be lishma, as long as someone's doing the shmira, we don't really care if the goy is doing it adaita denafshe or not. Because it's not that he's inserting his das into the matzah as he needs it, that he's ruining it for you. It's that as long as someone's guarding the matzah lishma, that's good enough. And you are doing that. So what else do you have to worry about? Whereas the other Rishonim are saying, no. It's the actual maisa that needs to be done l'shma. The maisa itself needs to be done l'shem. Just like when you write a get. So like if the guy is writing the get and I stand there and I have in mind, you know, the shem o'ish and the shem o'isha exactly right, that doesn't help. Why doesn't that help? Because the act of the writing of the get doesn't have to be, you know, it has to be l'shma. And it's not enough for me to guard the get l'shma. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah to guard the get. So on one hand, you see the Ra'ah saying that if you don't do the maisa l'shma, what are you doing? It doesn't help to stand there l'shma, right? You know, this matzah was officially stood over the l'shem matzah's mitzvah. Who cares? Why does that help? Right? This is, whoever heard of it, I stood over the get l'shma. So you see clearly from the Gemara in Gittin, it's not true. You can't just stand over a get l'shma. You have to write a get l'shma. So too, you have to knead the dough l'shma. You have to bake the dough l'shma. You can't just stand over the dough l'shma. Or you could say, no, what would be an easy way to reject this? Why do we need to write a get l'shma, guys? Well, no, I mean, it's even if it's all given over, but what's it? We learn from the Torah that a get needs a lishma. It needs to be written lishma, right? Why, where do we learn it from? What does the pasuk say? The kosav la. We darshan from a kosav la lishma, right? It has to be written lishma. That's so it says in the Torah, write a get lishma. It doesn't say guard a get lishma. What does it say by matzos? Ushmartem esa matzos. You guard the matzos. It doesn't say va'afisem esa matzos. Right? It says, Ushmartem esa matzos. You guard the matzos lishma. So maybe it's different in the sense that the matzos could just be guarded lishma versus baked lishma. Because that's the lashon that the Torah gives you over there. As opposed to the writing of the get, which has to be done lishma. So now he throws in an interesting side point here. He says, wait a minute. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. V'yafal gav degabe mila ashkechon desagi. We find that by bris milah, let's say the only guy in town who knows how to do a bris milah is a surgeon, is a non-Jewish surgeon, and you are the Jew, your son is getting a bris milah, but you can't do it, so you want this non-Jewish surgeon to perform the milah. Is that allowed? The Gemara says, black on white, that you can do it. If the Yisrael is omed al gabav, if the Yisrael stands over him and makes sure he does it, l'shem mitzvah, it's allowed. Right, so he says, why is that allowed and this not? Shiny mila destama hi lishma dein shum tam acher l'ktsitsa sa'arla. So he says, why else would you circumcise a child? The Gemara was assuming stama lishma there. Right, there's a klal called stama lishma. Right, generally speaking, most mitzvahs, for example, we have by mitzvahs tzrichos kavana. It's machlokis in the Gemara, whether mitzvahs tzrichos kavana, machlokis Gemara, rishonim, achronim, poskim, right? Whether or not mitzvahs tzrichos kavana, mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavana. So there's different reasons why you would say that mitzvahs need kavana, they don't need kavana. But some rishonim who hold mitzvahs don't need kavana say a very interesting thing. For example, Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Brachos writes that even the man da'amrim who hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavana, l'chadchila, they need kavana. What would be the difference between l'chadchila and b'di'evid? Saying either mitzvahs need kavana and they don't, and you're not yotzei, or they don't need kavana and you are yotzei. What's l'chadchila versus b'di'evid? So many explain that's talking about stama l'shma. Meaning most mitzvahs, when you do them, you have in mind you're doing it because it's a mitzvah. You don't have in mind you're doing it stam. So there's no other reason you're shaking a lulav, you know. There's no other reason why you're taking a palm branch and whatever and some esrog and just shaking it in various different directions. Clearly you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. So that mitzvah, I think everybody would have to agree, stama l'shma, right? Eating matzah, maybe not as easy to figure it out. It could be an exception to the rule anyway for other reasons. But eating matzah, it's food. So food is not stama l'shma, perhaps. Food is food, because you like food, you want to eat it, right? So having a bris milah, in those days, only Jewish people had a bris. Nobody else bothered having a bris milah. It was considered a gnai for other people to have a bris milah, right? So therefore, it's pashut why you can have a non-Jew do the bris, because a non-Jew's stam das is l'shem mitzvah. Why else would he do it? There's no ulterior motives that one could have. So what comes out of this line in the Ritva? What comes out of the Bizman Hazeh, is that true? No, many non-Jews also circumcise the babies. I think even despite the world's best efforts, You know, I think it's still pretty commonplace in America to a baby get circumcised. So many non-Jews circumcise the babies also. So it would seem, halacha l'maisa, if this is really the reason why we allow a non-Jew to perform bris milah, so we would not allow a non-Jew to perform bris milah b'zman hazeh, because it could be adaita d'nafshe. Maybe he's thinking, yeah, there's health benefits or whatever, just because it's the standard thing to do, he wants to do it, whatever his reason is. But it might not be l'shem mitzvah. But in those days, there's no other reason why you would possibly do it l'shem mitzvah. Okay, he has a lot more to say here. He says also in terms of baking the matzahs, so we have a klal that within 30 days of Pesach, we say it's stama lishma. Why do we say that? Because shol and bedarshin, shloshim yom kodem achag, right? You're supposed to start cheshbening in your mind. Hilchos Pesach, it's supposed to be on your mind, right? That's the famous comment of the Ran. The Ran writes that if two Talmidim ask you kasha, one is on topic, one is off topic, so you have to answer the on-topic question. You can ignore the off-topic question, right? But if it's within 30 days of the yontif, you have to assume that the yontif-based question is also on the topic. We're learning Gittin. You're asking me Hilchos Pesach. Okay? But it's not considered being off the topic because we're within 30 days of the yontif, and that's supposed to be on your mind constantly. So we have the right to assume if a guy bakes matzah between Hanukkah and Purim, right? I was told, I have no first-hand knowledge of this, that most matzah bakeries open up around Hanukkah time, and they do their baking from Hanukkah to Pesach, right? So if the guy bakes matzahs from Hanukkah to Purim, we don't assume stama lishma, because he's not holding in Pesach. But once Purim comes around, I don't know if you ever do this at your Purim Suda, many people have a custom to say some Hilchos Pesach at the Purim Suda after it gets dark, because then begins Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag. So this guy decides that's the perfect time to start baking matzahs. So he, hopefully he's very sober, and he stokes the ovens, and he's able to bake the matzahs starting Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag. And even if he doesn't have in mind L'shem Matzahs Mitzvah, we say Stama L'shma, right? Because it's now within 30 days of Pesach. Pashta says that it's going to be because of the mitzvah. That's why he's doing it, because he's got Pesach on his mind. Right? So maybe you could say, if a Nachri bakes matzahs within 30 days of Pesach, so then we're not going to be choshesh adaita denafshe, because he's doing it stama lishma, because he's got Pesach on his mind. So obviously, that's ridiculous. You know, that's Minchas Chinuch points out that it's ridiculous, because the whole yisod of stama lishma is because you're always thinking about it anyway. But the Nachri is not going to celebrate Pesach. So he doesn't have to think, you know, we don't say, oh, the Nachri's doing it. Mamish Erev Pesach, Etech Chatzos. He's got the Mahadrin Matzahs, you know, that the Yerushalmi likes. We'll see that in a second. But he's got the Mahadrin Matzahs from Erev Pesach, Etech Chatzos. He's obviously having in mind L'shem Matzah Mitzvah. No, because he's not thinking about the Seder. He's thinking about, you know, the draft. I know the NFL draft and Pesach are always close to each other. So he's thinking about who his team's going to take in the draft, and, you know, he wants to enjoy some chips and dip at the party. So he's baking these delicious chips to have with his salsa. But for you, it's mamish, Pesach's on your mind. So of course, when you bake matzahs close to Pesach, it's going to be lishma. But that doesn't apply to the Nachri at all. So you can't suffice adding, you know, so you say like, well, I can't find a Jew to bake the matzahs, so I'll supervise a non-Jew, but mamish close to Pesach. So I can be mishtatef the svara of stama lishma to the other ones. That's baloney. That you can't be mitzdarev. That svara doesn't add anything to the mix, because the stama lishma only applies to someone who has an inyan of thinking of Hilchos Pesach within 30 days of the yontif. So that's obviously not helpful in this case. Okay. One more point about this is that it helps a lot if you say you want to bake machine shmura matzah. Right, machine shmura, so who's baking the matzahs? The machine, right? Does the machine have kavana lishma? Pash does not, right? The machine, so the yid is pushing the button lishma. So is that enough? Is it enough to push the button lishma, or is it have to be, or does it have to be that you do the maisa lishma? So certainly, certainly if, so with tzitzis, for example, you want to have the tevi'ah lishma, let's say. We're going to do the tevi'ah lishma. So if you push the button, the whole cheshbon is, if you push the button lishma and that helps the machine do it lishma, so then fine. If you hold the pushing the button lishma doesn't help anything, so it's not fine. It wasn't spun lishma. But here with the matzahs, so you could say it's the same cheshbon, pushing the button on the machine, lishma, does that make it lishma? Or no, maybe pushing the button lishma is just means that I did the mitzvah of pushing a button. I didn't do the mitzvah of baking matzahs lishma, right? So some say no, but by matzah you have an added reason to be makel and say that it is lishma because you don't necessarily need to bake it lishma in the first place. It could just be that you just need to guard it lishma. So when you're looking at the machine and you're saying I'm guarding it lishma, that's just as good as when the nachri bakes it, and I'm guarding in lishma. So there are many rishonim, as we saw, the many rishonim who do, and you can have Rabbi Selengut just pointed out that another rishon, Marachur Zarua, he says has a lot of rayas that it just needs shmira lishma, not just baking it lishma. And he has two rayas from different gemaras that it's dafka shmira lishma. So there's what to say that pushing a button on the machine doesn't even need to be lishma. Even if you hold that pushing the button on the machine lishma does nothing, still you're guarding the machines. You're guarding the machines lishma, and therefore you're watching the matzahs being baked lishma. That counts the chiyuv of the mitzvah. Okay, so that's another reason to be makel for machine shmura and to say that if you can be yotze the mitzvah with machine shmura matzah, not just hand shmura matzah. Okay, two more points. Two more points. In source number 8, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rishalmi that is a minug to bake matzahs on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, which is the Zman of the Hakrovas Korban Pesach. And then he says, well, what if Erev Pesach is Shabbos? Right? So you know everybody likes to write a little kuntris on Erev Pesach Shechal Lios B'Shabbos, right? It's a very exciting topic. So here he says, "What? Let's say Erev Shabbos is Erev Pesach is Shabbos. You can't bake matzahs Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So you can." So he says, "Loshen be Erev Shabbos achar sheishos. Do what? Erev Shabbos mean Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Not because that really helps, but because you'll remember it's a zecher to the fact that really you should have baked it after Chatzos and Erev Pesach. But what can you do, right? So this is based on the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi has this idea that you can only be yotze matzah." With matzah that was baked on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. It's also quoted as this was the practice of Rashi and some of the Balei Tosfos. And it's based on a hekish between the Korban Pesach and Achilas Matzah. That you cannot bake matzah based on the Zman HaKrovas HaPesach. You cannot bake matzah if it's not the Zman HaKrovas HaPesach. And therefore, if it's not time to bring the Korban Pesach, you cannot bake matzah shel mitzvah. You can bake non-chametz, but you can't bake matzah shmura, you can't bake matzah shel mitzvah if it's not the Zman HaKrovas HaPesach. That is the standard, that's the standard answer. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted in the Pnini Arav as having a separate reason why one bakes matzahs on Erev Pesach, because there's a machlokes between the Ramban and the Baal HaMor. When is the Isser to eat matzah on Erev Pesach? We know that the Gemara says, "Ochel matzahs be'erev Pesach kibol arusaso be'beis chamav." Right? It's you're jumping the gun when you eat matzah on Erev Pesach. It's also to do it. You're supposed to wait until the right time, and therefore the Rishonim argue, when is it also actually eat matzah on Erev Pesach? So the Ramban, the Baal HaMor holds that it's actually only also to eat matzah on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Whereas the Ramban says, no, already from Alos HaShachar and Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat matzah anymore. We're much firmer than the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. We already stopped eating matzah, a month before, 11 months before, I don't know, whatever your particular minig is, that's a, but in terms of the actual halacha, so the Baal HaMor holds it's only from Chatzos and onward, and from the Ramban holds that it's from the beginning of that day, from Alos HaShachar. So what's the idea? So the Poshup Shad is that if there's no halachos associated with chametz and matzah, there can't be other halachos associated with chametz and matzah either. Meaning, if it's not usher to eat chametz, then it can't be that there are such mitzvos of achilas matzah. Right? I'll give you a better mushel. What do you call bread today? What word would we use for bread? I mean, lechem, right? What do we call bread on Pesach? What? We call it chametz, right? Now I'm saying a piece of bread. A piece of bread today is called lechem. A piece of bread on Pesach is called chametz. It's the same bread. What's the answer? Because today, well, today already we're getting close. But a month ago, nobody cared about chametz. A month ago, people were busy amassing loads of mishloach manos into their houses, and like all those Israeli vafalim are chametz, right? We know that chametz before Pesach is not chametz. It's bread. It's cookies. It's cake. But on Pesach, there's only one name for it. Chametz. That's it. Right? So why is that? Because on Pesach, the halachas of chametz and matzah are shaykh. Before Pesach, there's no halachas of chametz and matzah. It's just bread. So there's no isser. It's not. You have a tarovis of chametz and matzah before Pesach. It's not even a tarovis. There's no clash. Right? You have a tarovis of chametz and matzah on Pesach. There's a clash. It's isser mixed with heter. Right? So maybe it's only shaykh to talk about the isser of eating matzah when the mitzvah of matzah has relevancy. It's an isser of chametz, right? But if there's no din chametz and matzah, so it's not yet Erev Pesach and Chatzos, there's no dinim of chametz and matzah that are shaykh. So how can you possibly say that it's usher to eat matzah? It's not even matzah until it's shaykh to be chametz, right? So our Soloveitchik says, so too here, by the mitzvah of baking matzah on Erev Pesach. Why? Because how can you really bake matzah lishma if there's no mitzvah involved? The whole idea of shimur, like we said, even if you hold the mitzvah is to do it lishma, right? No, regardless of the machlokas we just mentioned, whether or not it's a mitzvah to guard it lishma or just to knead the dough lishma, to bake it lishma, regardless of how you hold, there can't be lishma if there's no such thing as chametz. There has to be such a thing as chametz for me to be guarding it from becoming chametz. Otherwise, how can I truly be doing it l'shem matzah's mitzvah and be guarding it from chametz? There's no real guarding. Like, what are you doing? I'm watching the matzah. That it shouldn't become what? That it shouldn't become bread, or it shouldn't become chametz? So if you're guarding it that it shouldn't become bread, i.e. before this man is or chametz, that's not called guarding it l'shma. But once it's guarding it from becoming chametz, because after Shei Shos and Erev Pesach, bread becomes chametz, so then it's shaykh to say that you're guarding it lishma. Maybe that's the pshat in Yerushalmi, according to Rav Soloveitchik. Okay. One last nekuda. So how thick can your matzahs be? When you're baking the matzahs, so we bake them nice and thin, right? If you look in source number 9 at the end, in Siv, hey, ain osin v'pesach pas of a tefach. You're not allowed to make the bread thicker than a tefach. It's pretty thick, right? Tefach is thick. So I think the Gemara learns this from the Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim was kosher l'pesach, and it was one tefach thick, so we don't want to make it thicker than a tefach. We don't trust ourselves that we can really make sure that it's not chametz if it's less than tefach thick. So for Svardim, the matzahs can really be up to a tefach, right? But if you look back in Siv Dalet at the end there, the little print, Hagov yesh lasos hamatzos rikikin v'lo pas ova kishar lechem ki ena rikikin memarin lahachmetz. So you should make them like rikikin, which I guess you could translate as wafers, crackers, right? So that, and not thick like bread. So this is a big hack. What is the Ramah saying? You have to bake it thin like rikikin. So does that mean like our matzahs, that they have to be crunchy or just have to be thin? Right? Because he's sort of saying, v'lo pas ova kishar lechem. Right? Don't make it thick. Make it rikikin, don't make it thick. Right? He doesn't say don't make it soft. He says don't make it thick. Right? So some want a taina that even the soft matzahs are good for Ashkenazim because they're thin, they're just not crunchy. So the Ramah never said the minig is to make it crunchy. He said the minig is to make it thin. And he says, and he contrasts it, he says, don't make it thick like bread, because we're not careful, we're not sure that we can keep the bread from becoming chametz, but we can keep the thin matzahs from becoming chametz. And others say, no, you see from the minig of Ashkenazim that the Rambam meant to make it crunchy. Right? So he clearly meant that it should be wafer-like substance, a cracker-like substance, like we eat. Right? Now obviously this creates issues because really the bracha on crackers is mezonos versus hamotzi. So that's not such a big deal because on Pesach, it's the bread of the day, so like it's not really crackers anyway, and most of the time when we eat matzah, we're being koveh su'ud on it, which even if it was crackers, you'd still make amotzi, so it's not that big of a deal. But Svardim, for example, if they would eat matzah during the year, not alpi koveh su'ud, would make a mezonos on matzah, because matzah is crackers, whereas the Ashkenazim always make amotzi for whatever reason, because it's bread 7 days a year, so it's bread the whole year. But lemaisa, it's a big controversy, it's a big discussion, whether or not the Ramah would allow us to eat the soft matzahs as well. Some say, I've heard from a number of Chashim and Poskim who say that even Ashkenazim could eat the thin matzahs, the thin Sephardi matzahs. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Alicha Shlomo is quoted as saying, don't have the thin matzahs, it's not our Mesorah. And the Mesorah of Ashkenazim is to have the crunchy matzahs. Just one thought on this. I don't know. This is total guesswork on my part. This might not even be an educated guess. But I was thinking maybe the machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah as to what, how you should bake the matzahs. Should they be crunchy and, you know, burnt? Or should they be, you know, soft and a little bit, you know, more easy to manipulate? So maybe it's a machlokes in terms of hider mitzvah in the matzah. Right? Meaning, what's the better way to bake matzahs lechadchila? We know in hider mitzvah, so there's, I don't remember what day it was. I heard Ari Leibowitz was talking about the hider, the famous chilek in Arvi Psachim, but in the Rashbam and Rashi quote, that eating matzah leteyavon is a hider mitzvah in achilas matzah, right? The hider mitzvah in the gavra, hider mitzvah in the chefza. So here, maybe there's a question as to what's the best hider mitzvah that you could have when it comes to achilas matzah. Maybe you could argue that the mechaber is saying to have, obviously they have to be kosher, not chametz, but the tastier slash softer and more digestible matzahs constitute a more muhuder way to make matzahs. Because obviously anybody can just flatten it out, chuck it in the oven, it goes 2 seconds, it's a cracker. You know, that's a really easy way to bake matzahs. The Sephardim could also bake matzahs that way if they wanted to. But they don't want to. Why? Because they want to make it tastier a little bit. I mean, taste, it, both have the same lack of taste. But they want to make it as pleasant an eating experience as possible. Whereas the Ramah is saying, no. The more mehuder way to bake matzahs is halachically mehuder. Not to bake it in a way that you will want to eat it more, but to bake it in a way where it's the farthest possible, you know, the farthest way possible from becoming chametz. And therefore, the ikar hider mitzvah by baking matzahs is to bake them flat and crunchy, as opposed to softer and easier to chew, because we want to make it more mehuder that it will not become chametz. Just to add a little bit of understanding to this, the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara in Sukkah, and this is how we paskin by Lulav Tzarech Eged. They have a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, and whether Lulav Tzarech Eged. You guys know that machlokas? Does the Lulav need to be tied together, or can you just hold them together? Right? So Rabbi Yehuda holds Lulav Tzarech Eged, and the Chacham holds Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged. So we paskin, the Gemara says straight out, in Yad Alpha Mibes, Lulav Eino Tzarech Eged, but it's a mitzvah la'ogdo. It's a mitzvah to do it. So we say, well, that's not the Chacham, it's not Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers, Mishum Zek Keli Van Veyu, we want to do like Rabbi Yehuda. So what do you mean, Zek Keli Van Veyu? So it means that another way to be Yotze, Zek Keli Van Veyu, says the Prima Gadim, is to hold like the Shita Dechuya. Sometimes there's a machlokis in the Rishonim, there's a machlokis in the Poskim. So another way to do Hider Mitzvah in the Gavra is to try to be Yotzei L'chol HaDeos. Don't just, even though the Shulchan Aruch Poskim's one way, still you can try to be Yotzei according to both opinions if you can. And that's a Hider Mitzvah in the way you're doing the Mitzvah. So it seems like the Gemara is saying along those lines that L'chadchila we try to do like Rabbi Yehuda, even though the Halacha is like the Chachamim, Mishum Hider Mitzvah. So what do you mean hider mitzvah? It should look the nicest? No, it doesn't make it look nicer. It's not an easier thing to do, but it's a lechachila, we want to do it in the best halachic fashion. So that sounds very much like the Ramah, that halachically best way to do it is the most muhudr way. The only problem with it is the Mechaber himself in Tafresh Nun Aleph writes that you should use a double knot when you're tying up the lulav and esrog and the lulav and the hadas and the rabbis. Use a double knot, not an aniva. Don't use a bow, which is not a full blown kesher, because we want you to be yotzei according to Rabbi Yehuda. So it sounds even the mechaber holds that hider mitzvah means to be yotzei in the most. In the best possible way, not necessarily the nicest way, but you could be docha that kasha, because you could just say that's only when it's not shaykh to do it in a more beautiful way. So clearly we're talking about the halachic hider, but when it comes to achilas matzah, as long as it's not chametz, there's no hider to dafka run 20 miles away from chametz. It's not chametz, it's matzah. So therefore the next way to be mahadir is to dafka make it in as pleasant a way to eat as possible. Now that's just a thought. Everybody have a chag kosher v'sameach.